He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
And hello, everyone out there in SNU land. This is He Said, She Said. It's September 2017. I'm in Vernon. Where are you, Trace?
I'm in Cranbrook, British Columbia, in the East Kootenays.
And it must be getting a little cool there at nighttime.
Well, we're right by the Rocky Mountains. And yes, there's snow on top of those mountain tips.
The times, they are changing.
They certainly are.
But it's good to be alive, and it's good to talk about health and wellness and what's on your mind. What's cooking when it comes to soup and sandwich and food and all that great stuff?
What's cooking is fresh tomato soup. Well, a friend of mine in my dance class, she just picked a whole bunch of farm fresh tomatoes. So she says, I've got lots of tomatoes, and for $5, I'll give you 10 pounds. I said, $5? Well, that's great. Never thought 10 pounds was an awful lot of tomatoes for you and me only. So I made tomato this and tomato that and tomato this and tomato that, and finally thought, you know, I should make a tomato soup to get rid of these tomatoes. So that's what I did. I made a really nice tomato basil soup, and I just didn't measure anything. I just threw it in a big pot, filled it up with filtered water, and cut up a bunch of tomatoes till it filled the brim. And then I added a chopped onion and a couple of crushed raw garlic and some Mrs. Dash and some sea salt, and brought it to a low boil and let it simmer for a few hours. Once it cooled down, then I just put it into the fridge. When I woke up in the morning, I blended the cold soup, and then I added a tin of coconut milk with fresh basil. And at that time, you wanted a few more carbs because you were getting into your hammer competition. So I added some really nice organic brown rice to it. And voila, the soup was made. Now, that's how I made it. And I know you can do a lot of different things. You can roast the tomatoes and get quite extravagant. But this was just so simple, yet it was so good. Now, you can add a multitude of different things to that tomato soup. You can add carrots and celery or whatever vegetable that your heart fancies. So, yeah, not bad soup. Pretty simple, huh?
I love it as an appetizer when I'm going to consume a specific meal in mind. And then that sort of precedes the meal, and it's just nice to have it. It's easy to put down and delicious. Always delicious, dear.
The warm weather is finally saying bye-bye to us here in Canada. So it's soup time, and I'm here in Cranbrook, and I just made a really nice beef and barley soup. So I'm looking forward to digging into that tonight. But anyway, the tomatoes that she had picked and I bought from her were a nice quality Roma tomatoes, which are small pear-shaped tomatoes, which can also be called plum or Italian tomatoes. They're firm, smooth-skinned, bright, fleshy, and bursting with flavor. They also have less seeds in them. Actually, they're used as a vegetable, but they're actually a fruit. They're members of the nightshade family plants. You knew that, right, Corey?
Of course,
you know,
I knew that.
Because you know everything?
Of course I knew that.
Yeah, is it a fruit or is it a vegetable? Well, apparently it's a fruit. And there's hundreds of varieties of tomatoes, but the red is the most common. And sometimes you get a yellow tomato, a green tomato, a pink tomato, or an orange tomato. They're an excellent source of mixed carotenoids and lycopene, and they also possess multiple antioxidant effects. So let's say potassium for one medium-sized Roma tomato, there's 450 milligrams of potassium. That's pretty amazing, huh?
I wonder what the sodium content is. Must be very, very low.
10 milligrams.
10. Okay, so here's
a
little math. You divide the sodium into the potassium. 10 into 400 is 40. So it's a 41 ratio, 40 to 1 ratio. This is why, you know, we're not big on salt, because all of nature is big on potassium, not sodium.
Yeah, so there you go. You're getting a lot of potassium in there. Also, it says, this is like food for thought, if you refrigerate your Roma tomatoes, they'll lose their flavor. So you want to keep them out, right? And then you want to probably eat them as soon as you can, because otherwise those darn fruit flies, man. We had a real problem with those this year. Not in the house, but they were outside, those little aphids or whatever. But anyway, that's the easiest, super simplest way to make a tomato soup. And that's what I did, and it was really delicious. And there you have it. A nice, fresh, it was a tomato, coconut, basil soup.
And also, hands down, thousands of times better than canned soup that you buy in a store. So put a little extra time and energy. It doesn't take that much time, but this is what I talk about food and relationship. Build a relationship with food. Hold those tomatoes in your hand. Appreciate where they came from. Appreciate their value. Work with them. You know, build something that's going to go into your body as opposed to just doing everything for convenience, right? That's one of the big mistakes people make in this day and age when it comes to nutrition.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what you're eating. When you make it yourself, you know what's in it. And there's something psychological, too, about knowing that you prepared it and you made it and you used your own hands and just a whole feel good.
There's a connection to it. Just like when you spend time with your kids or grandkids as opposed to just sending them money. You know, it's very convenient to send everyone money, but it's sometimes not the most convenient thing in the world to be there for your children or your grandchildren or whoever. Sometimes you have to do stuff that's inconvenient to benefit in multiple ways. And this is what holistic medicine is all about. It is not about convenience, like being an athlete. You know, how do you achieve greatness as an athlete conveniently? It's the opposite.
Well, being unhealthy isn't convenient either, is it?
No, that's the consequence of doing the convenient route. So that's what we say, you know, you want to pay me now or pay me later, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Try it.
Good stuff. Yeah, get your tomatoes on there, people. Okay, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest interview was Ms. Caroline Mundell. Caroline is a CSNA master, a BCRPA, which is the BC Recreation and Parks Association personal trainer, Olympic lifting coach, and she also holds an FMS level 1, which is a functional movement systems, and has 200 hours of yoga instruction. She is the owner of Function Health Club, a fitness and nutrition company that provides clients with an abundance of health and wellness modalities aimed at creating healthier people and in turn, healthier communities. To read more about Caroline's bio, please see our website because it does go on and on. Holy smokes, Caroline doesn't stop even with 3 children. She is one mover and a shaker. Caroline is a CSNA master and a master she is. She's worked very hard over the years to make a difference in her life and the lives of others in her community, young and old alike. She loves to feel strong. That's why she says, because you asked her a question about lifting weights, and she says, I just really love to feel strong. And it's interesting because through CrossFit, Caroline learned to love Olympic lifting, which she now has won many championships, which she now teaches.
Yeah, she's doing what she loves and she's good at it. And that's part of the key to success in life and also feeling, you know, whatever it is that feeling is that motivates us and creates ambition and keeps us on track and focused. So Caroline is a wonderful example of someone who started off with next to nothing, just an idea and a dream, and then pursued it and did the work. And now she's just rocking in her business and rocking in her life and loving it. And she's just a wonderful person.
Well, for sure. And now we talked about having goals. Her goal is gearing up for the 2019 competition for Olympic lifting in Montreal. So she's also very goal-orientated. She feels it's invigorating to have a goal. It's always nice to have long-term goals, yet short-term goals as well. That's the role of successful people, having goals or targets. And I really absolutely love the fact that she's working with schools on nutrition and fitness for kids. I remember one time while she was a CSNA student, she'd called me up and said, let's get together because I want to ask you about my kids' diet and what to feed my children. She always gets out there, she asks, she wants to know. And then through this, she's become a master teacher on all of this as well. And I think it's interesting because she says that she's creating programs for teachers who have a routine for kids so that they can teach them fitness and nutrition in the school. Because the teachers, they go to school to learn how to teach the kids a certain subjects, but they don't teach PE or fitness or nutrition in the teaching programs. So I think that's interesting. That's what she's gone in to do, to teach the teachers. So I think it's wonderful. And if anybody can do it, Caroline is a super fantastic role model for the teachers, for the children, and for everybody. So I just want to really congratulate Caroline on how wonderful she's done. We're so proud of her.
Well, what does fitness and nutrition have to do with life?
I think, you know, there's more consciousness about that. The more awareness is happening around that now, that that's what the kids need and the kids want. They have to learn how to live when they get out. It's not just all about algebra and trigonometry and this and that, although it's very important because being a nerd is very cool today, apparently.
Well, it comes after. The fitness is first, you know, from the ground up, that toughness, all of the stuff that goes into learning how to overcome yourself in fitness, sport, exercise, and movement. This is what Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato all agreed on. They said it starts there, not with academics. And then the academics comes after you're ready for the academics because you've gone through the hard knocks. It's kind of like a Spartan training camp where you get the kids into this physical fitness mentality, the essentiality of it, and then the mind starts to get hungry for knowledge of reality, physics, biology, chemistry. We've got it all backwards.
Yes. I noticed that when we are with our grandkids, you know, I like to wear them out. I think running, 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 get them running, get them going, move, move, move. And they're so exhausted. That's what you got to do. It's like running a dog. They're so exhausted that they come home and they just plop down. And then you can have a conversation with them then about something intelligent. Right? Otherwise, they're just too freaking hyper. You know, they need to burn off that hyperness and then they can actually calm down and relax their mind. Right?
I was on the bus yesterday on the way back from throwing the hammer and this person got on the bus with a dog and it was kind of fat and out of shape. And I just thought, you know, that's how most people are. I mean, I bet you that dog is overeating and just not running. It's just so simple. It's so basic, people.
Yes, exactly. I hear you. Anyway, that's that. Thanks, Caroline. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your hot topic, dear?
My hot topic is overbooking yourself. Now, it's the reason that I'm talking about this is because just this week, I've had quite a few people tell me about how they have the same problem. They overbook themselves. And this is very interesting, as it really is a time management situation, and they're not realistic with how long it takes to get from point A to point B, and then they have to get to Z. They want to try to do everything and get everything in at once and not miss a beat. However, they overbook and then they end up screwing up, missing appointments, blowing people off, arriving way late, and all around causing a lot of stress and anxiety. And this type of lifestyle will definitely wreak havoc on your immune system. So I remember, Corey, you used to do this.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. We used to go to Vancouver and you'd say, I want to see this person. I want to see this person. I want to do that. I want to do that. You'd book like three people in one day. And I said, we can't do that. You can only see one person when we go. Of course, you're doing business, but then you can only take time out to see one person, one friend or family member. Because you'd book like, okay, I'll do a little business and then I'm going to go meet so-and-so for lunch and then we're going to go meet someone at dinner time. But then we have to realize that it's 45 minutes to get from point A to point B. And then you get into having a conversation with this person and then you want to keep it going. You don't want to stop, which we all know is true about that. And then you end up being late because these people across town have made dinner for you, and then we get there late. So it caused me stress, it caused you stress. And so now we've decided that when we go anywhere, we're only going to see one person because it's just too stressful for me, that is.
No, anyway. No. You've decided for both of us. I didn't decide anything, but I just complied with your decision.
Okay, well, you know it's the right thing anyway. So they need to take into consideration how long 1 hour is, right? How long is an hour? And how much can you get done in 1 hour?
Sometimes, well, it all depends. If you're traveling at the speed of light, it's not the same as if you're here on Earth. It's quite a bit different,
whatever.
Actually.
So what's the solution? Well, I would say you have to stop, look, and listen, and really be realistic with your time. How much can I realistically get down and in one day without stressing out and hurrying, like the hurry sickness, right? Add in an extra 15 minutes to a half an hour for a problem on the road or stopping for gas, or maybe you got to go pee, whatever. Always leave a little bit early. Always give yourself a little bit more time. Be realistic. That's the most important thing. And realize that if someone needs you to do something, they will have to wait a little bit longer to get the job done. You know, if you know, just say, no, I can't do it today. I have to do it tomorrow. Or I can't do it this week. I have to do it next week. Because you're only one person, right? So you just basically it's being realistic with time.
Well, Paracelsus, right? The reason we're ill is because we're never still. And we're aging into a beautiful future, you and I, just, you know, crossing the 60 line. And we're learning things. You know, I think the tendency by nature of the beast is that we tend to slow down and smell the roses and consider things we didn't used to have any interest in and see things clearly that were fuzzy before in the past. And we get smarter at pretty much everything that we do because we know what's going to happen if we do or don't do something, whereas in the past we never thought as much about that, right?
Yes, that's right. If you say so, boss. Anyway, that's it. So just slow down and be realistic about how much time you have in a day. And also you need time to relax too. So, you know, don't overbook yourself. Overbooking, don't overbook yourself. There you have it.
Yep. And enjoy life and work out and focus on what needs to be done, people. I mean, it's just that simple. Okay, well, that was a great SNU. It's time to bring this session to an end. What is your final word?
My final word is by Michael Altahuler. The bad news is time flies. The good news is you are the pilot.